Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, iHeartPodcast, 111 Productions, 111 Podcast, 111 Media. There's so many companies to name. I am joined by my intrepid crew, Daniel Romo, Amy Sugarman, Suzanne French, and we're going to do a season 6 wrap-up Q&A. But first, I'm excited to go to Tupelo, Mississippi. So I'm going to be there at the Tupelo Con. March 16th through 18th. And if you want to get the new line of Gilmore Girls coffees, the Luke's Diner Blend, the Stars Hollow Blend, and the Dragonfly and Talk Fast Blend, go to the Warner Brothers Studio Store in Burbank, California, where it is exclusively sold. If you want Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee, email us at support@scottyp.com. And Amy's got some questiones.
Well, first I wanted to ask you guys, like, is anyone a little weirded out? I am. That we're like to the last season of Gilmore Girls.
I'm a little crazy. It flew by.
Yeah.
It seems like yesterday I picked up a phone and called you about this idea I had of a rewatch podcast, thinking it was an original idea when it all really wasn't.
And is anyone else like, okay, so I guess maybe in my mind it's like, oh, that's the Paladinos' last episode. Now, I love West Wing also, and Aaron Sorkin did leave the show and I continued to love it, but it is, they're such unique creators that it is a little weird to be like, oh, the main creators of the show are gone now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was that weird for you when they left, Scott?
Yeah.
Was it sad?
Yeah.
And were you stressed?
Yeah, everybody was.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know if we were going to have a season 7. We didn't know if we should even be involved in it. We felt conflicted. I mean, there's these loyalties that you have to Amy and Dan, and but then, you know, you've got your loyalties to your mortgage and your family. And,
well, are some things beyond your control? Like if you have a contract.
Yeah, that's one of them.
You can't leave just because they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can, but and our contracts were up, but I'd already negotiated for a season 7.
Right. So you were like,
Yeah, I was under contract. So yeah, you're obligated. You can't just not show up. You know, that's a no-no. You know, wow. You don't want to get into a legal brouhaha with a major studio. I mean,
yeah, it would be hard though, especially since, like, you know, I guess on some shows, like, look, on some shows, you know, the showrunners come and go and they go through multiple.
Yeah, but that's, like, that's never good.
No. And
that's
these
very
are the people-
rarely a good thing. You know, you want to have, like, I was on a show on NBC and the showrunner was inexperienced, but had written a really great pilot and they replaced him with another show and it destroyed the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't last a year. I mean, it was a year and it was out. That's not a good sign when there's like showrunners coming and going. That's not
and
good.
Some shows, I think The Walking Dead and the West Wing, like we talked about, can survive it. But it will be interesting for us to really analyze season 7,
mm-hmm.
the differences.
And we know how gifted a writer David Rosenthal is.
Right.
And he laid down some fantastic episodes.
And I can remember
some of our favorites
back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, enjoy. I just liked the show, right? So I wasn't in the behind the scenes weeds. Like, I didn't really even. I don't know, Suzanne. Did you know when you watched it? Did you watch it in the first run?
I did not watch it in the first run. I watched it for the first time in 2016, and. But I will say the first time I saw it, maybe I was just oblivious, but I did not realize that Amy and Dan had left for season 7. Like, it just was continuous for me. So
same. I didn't know.
I know either. Other people, I've seen other people say, oh, you could totally see a difference. And maybe I just wasn't paying very close attention, but I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I just remember loving the show and being happy to watch more episodes because I watched it live, like, I don't know, on CW or WB, whatever it was then. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't into the behind the scenes. So I sort of was, and I'm not sure as a 20 something, I would have cared. I don't know that I would have realized like the impact that a showrunner, creator, writers had. I think I was much more like, no, that's Luke and that's Lorelai. Like, I just was like hook, line, and sinker into the actors.
Right. I think the first line of defense are the talent.
Mm-hmm.
And we notice, we are the ones who notice it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then, you know, we do the best we can to, you know, make it the best we can.
Yeah.
But to ask somebody who it didn't dream up these characters and isn't writing from the experience that Dan and Amy has and brings to bear on these characters who created them is an impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
It is an impossible task. And I've seen so many scripts that have been submitted to me and as writing samples. And I wrote a Gilmore episode. Do you think you'd get me a meeting with Amy and this kind of thing? And you read these things and they're just spot on and they're great. But there's always something a little bit missing, you know.
Totally, right.
And it's not a knock on these writers. These are great writers. There's some great writers out there. And they take a stab at it and they do a great job and the jokes are funny and all that stuff. But there's just, and that special sauce just isn't
it's quite the voice.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the
You're
voice.
Not gonna replace those unique voices that Amy and Dan brought to this show. You're not gonna replace that. It's impossible.
So that leads me to my next question, because obviously, look, I always read all the comments. It's so much fun for me to read all the comments, but it's my job. So here's my question for you guys and really for everyone listening, right? And especially for you, Scott and Suzanne, because Danielle's seeing it for the first time. I love this show, right? And I obviously, as a result of that, like the writers and the creators. To me, it was always about the actors. Like, I was like, I love Luke and I love Logan and this is who I would pick and yada, yada. But obviously as a big fan, you're sucked into the writing and the creators who came up with these characters. So my question is, there are so many comments about how much they hate Lorelai hooking up with Christopher and how dare he, right? Like, they're really mad that Christopher would do that. As a viewer, if I just surrender like my ability to control anything on this show, like I have no ability to rewrite it. Like, and at the time I'm just watching it like as a voyeur, if Amy and Dan know these characters so well, they are the characters, they created them, why do we have such a distrust in them making the decision that Lorelai ran back to Christopher?
It's not a distrust. They did it intentionally. Because they know if you give fans what they want, they're going to go away.
Yeah.
You've got to keep the fans a little bit or a lot of bit in a state of longing and want. You can't give them what they want. You know, they wrote Christopher to be unlikable. They wrote him as a spineless person. That's how they wrote him. Okay? The fans were supposed to be repulsed by this. They were supposed to be scratching their heads like, why, Lorelai, are you going over? This is only something that Lorelai can understand and Christopher can understand. Most fans can't understand what's the attraction here. We don't get it. He's needy. He's whiny. He's just a complete screw up in his life. How are you attracted that? Well, it's, you know, the father, it's young love. It's 16 year old love. And you don't get over that and you don't forget about that. And there's all, you know, there's the residuals effects left over, and still there's a chance that, you know, and she needs him in Rory's life and Rory wants him in her life. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, but, you know, romantically speaking, you know, it has an ick factor that the fans that register and they rightfully and righteously complain about. So I don't understand what you are personally seeing. I don't see any chemistry between them. I don't see any attraction between them. I just look at it objectively and I say, whoa, you know, that's all big bowl of wrong right there. And and I know I have a dog in the fight here, but, you know, I'm trying to be objective about it. It's like, you know, you can't compare the two characters. You know, Luke is a steadfast guy with a backbone and his principles and his limited worldview, but he is who he is. And you know, Christopher is 180 degrees in the other direction.
Yeah.
And it's just clear for all to see. It's not even really a competition when they say team, are you team Luke or team Christopher? It's
correct. Like, I agree with
even
that.
A team. It's what are you talking about? You know? So I don't begrudge the fans for disliking Christopher. They wrote him just unlikable.
Yeah.
I feel like they wrote him partially likable though. Am I the only one that sees that?
Name one likable thing that he has ever said or done. I mean, he's an opportunist. He's just like skulking around the edges of her life when he should just F off.
I feel like he's very in love with Lorelai.
It's gross. Yeah, he is. He wants back in.
I don't know if he's in love with Lorelai so much as he's in love with whatever it was that they had back in high school. So we've talked about in a previous episode, I can't remember which episode of the series it was, but we talked about how really Christopher has never grown up. Like, he's still kind of that teenager in his head. And I think he has this idea that if he can be with Lorelai, they can be like they were when they were teenagers, because that's kind of still who he is in his head. So I don't know that he's in love with the current Lorelai. I think he thinks he is, but I don't know that he really is. And just to your point earlier, Amy, about, you know, should we trust Amy and Dan because they're the writers and the creators of these characters? I just wanted to say, as a viewer, when I'm watching any television show, whether it's, you know, Gilmore Girls or anything else, I'm not thinking about the actual people that wrote it. I'm like in the story and I'm in the plot and I'm with the characters. So I don't really care if that particular episode was written by the person who originally created the character or not. So to me, I don't feel like I, as a viewer, owe the writers anything.
I just feel like I am a voyeur. So I don't get to, like, I don't get to say, why? It's like, I almost try to suspend that I like, okay, I don't know how to say this properly. I'm watching real life play out on Gilmore Girls. So I don't really get to say, how dare she go back to him? She did. So it's like, okay, I'm in because that's what she did.
Right. But I think we're still allowed to have an opinion on that.
Of course. Of course. I'm just saying, for me, that ending was not as horrible as I'm seeing most people felt it was. I was sort of like, oh, wow, twisty twist. What's going to happen next?
I mean, I guess for me, the ending was horrifying because it didn't need to get to that point. You know, if there had been a conversation earlier in the season, we didn't have to get to this point where the two of them just completely blow each other apart.
Mm-hmm. I just think it was very relatable. I know so many girls that break up with their significant other and immediately call, maybe not the very same day. So I'll give you that.
Like within minutes.
TV. Because, you know, whatever. Call their high school boyfriend, call their ex. I mean, everybody, like, that's such a sort of cliche. Like, so many girls go running back to that, the guy that always opens the door for them. So I didn't find it that outlandish. And, you know, obviously, look, there's thousands of comments of people that disagree with me. But I was like, that tracks. She got in this big fight, and of course, she's going to run to Christopher.
I mean, it may have been predictable. Because she knew that Christopher was not going to turn her away. Like, she knew that Christopher was not going to reject her like Luke just had. But that doesn't mean it's not disappointing. Just because you can see it coming doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah, happening. I guess. Yeah, that's sort of the interesting conversation. And I'm glad we're talking about it because I wasn't disappointed. That's not the word I would use. I was more like,
And on the other end, I didn't even feel that. Like, I wasn't disappointed. I didn't feel like, whoa. I just was annoyed.
Annoyed. I don't know. After the bathroom, I think that bathroom scene was important because of the arm touch. And you're like, oh, man, there's still a little something there. And when this explodes, she's going right back to him. I don't know. Scott, like, you know, now that it's been a week, how do you, what's been going through your mind?
It's a hell of a thing to do to the dream couple. Mm-hmm. It's a hell of a thing to do. Mm-hmm. Very risky. I think from a writer's standpoint, a storytelling standpoint, it's very, very risky what they did. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows that they have a lot of faith in Lauren as mm-hmm. an actress and a lot of faith in me as an actor to... Yeah. Somehow find our way back to each other in season 7 over time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you could look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's see how good these guys are, you know, because if they aren't, nobody's going to believe this because this is a really extreme way to end season 6.
So that brings me to this question for you guys. So a lot of times in shows, they sort of know, like, and especially these days, they know when they're going to end it. So that I think it's easier to write the show when you know there's sort of an ending at year 4, year 8, year 7, whatever it is. Do you think maybe Amy and Dan thought they might come back and that would be the final season? So they didn't end season 6 with everything hunky-dory, because then what are they doing in season 7? Do you think there's any chance they intentionally broke them up to have the final season be them finding their way back to one another?
So here's... In a negotiation, any negotiation, you have to be willing to walk away to get what you really want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they were willing to walk away, and they drew a line in the sand, and... you know, they didn't get their 2-year deal. They didn't get what they wanted. And they said, well, that's it then. And, you know, respect for that. Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess because then that would mean 7, 8. They wanted to go 2 more.
Oh yeah. probably beyond that. I mean, the advertisers were screaming at Warner Brothers to bring that show back for multiple years.
Wow.
They weren't interested in seeing pilots of new shows. They wanted Gilmore back probably for, you know, 4 years, 5 years after season seven. I mean, it could have gone 15 seasons. They just wanted more of it, you know, and people, you know, these highly intelligent, highly creative people don't want to do it for 15
right, years. Right, right, right. No, right.
So, seven, eight max, probably. Right. I mean, that's probably
a hard show to do. I'm sure.
It's exhausting. They didn't sleep. They, you know, it's hard. That's a tall order, you know.
So before we start talking to everybody, which we're going to, or Scott's going to, Danielle, what do you, and you have no idea, what do you see coming in season seven? If you were to like just make your guesses.
I see Logan going to London, Rory visiting him a few times, something happening that's going to break him up. And it's not just as simple as long distance. It's like, I don't know, like he cheats on her or just something like that happens where they break up. And Rory's devastated. And then I'm hopeful that by the end of the season, in the end of the series, Jess somehow comes back in the picture.
Oh.
So okay, that's my storyline number one. Sorry, I've actually thought about this. Storyline number two, I don't think Luke and Lorelai are going to find their way back to each other. I think the damage has been done. And I'm not hopeful for that relationship. I weirdly think that
but then you don't have a show. How do you you've got to have a show. That's a big part of the show now.
The show is them trying to get back together and it just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and look, okay. I'm probably wrong. So whatever.
You're but just this is making just your my guesses. Theory. It's all
this
good.
This is my guesses.
Oh, that's right. You haven't seen it.
No,
seen
I don't know anything.
Which she's just giving her guesses.
Now I feel like I'm massively wrong, which is a bummer. or not a bummer. But and then I do weirdly think that April is gonna like try to like smooth over their relationship. Like she's gonna just jump in and be like, Lorelai, like blah blah blah. Like I think she's gonna just try to somehow be cool.
What do you think of Christopher and Lorelai? What's gonna happen with them?
I don't think much about that. Like in the sense of I don't think she's gonna try to be with him or I don't really see much happening there outside of what they already do.
Right.
Can you give me like...
No, absolutely not. Suzanne, after like, you know, and then Scott's going to talk to everybody and I'm sure they're going to give him an earful. But Suzanne, what are your thoughts like after last, you know, week's episode and like where your head is at?
Well, so I didn't realize that we weren't doing a recap today. So I actually watched the next
episode. Oh, you cheater. Pumpkin eater.
I thought we were recapping.
But you can't talk about it right now.
So I know I'm not going to talk about it. But I do appreciate the fact that, you know, it was the season ender was a typical cliffhanger. Like half of me is thinking, I really want to find out that this whole Christopher thing was just a dream. Like he's going to wake up and she's back at Suki's house or something. I personally, a lot of people don't like season seven. I don't like the first couple episodes of it, but I actually overall I do like season seven. There's some great stuff in season seven, so cool. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, I never had a problem with it. And Scott, like, where, like, can is it coming back to you? Or are you like apprehensive about watching this?
No, I have no idea. It's as if I've never acted in this show, so I don't remember what happens in season seven.
Are you nervous?
No.
You're just ready to get into it?
Yeah, no, I'm not nervous. I'm eager to, I'm curious. I'm hopeful, so, you know. I mean, I know we eventually get married, like, you know, 90 years later, but
right,
it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. Well, so that's the one thing I sort of wanted to like address because it keeps coming into my mind. And Danielle, you don't need to take your headphones off, but there's a little bit of a spoiler. The way the series, the movies end, Suzanne, mm-hmm. I've been thinking about so much because from what I understand, it's how the show was supposed to end. Is that yes. what? It's such a great ending to season 7 and such sort of a weird ending to the movies.
Yes.
So I just have been thinking about that so much as we're entering season 7 now with hindsight, knowing how they wanted to end it.
Right. It makes a different impact when you're at a different age,
yeah, or
when the
totally.
Character is at a different age.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to watching those again because I actually enjoyed the movie. So I think it'll be a fun conversation when we get there.
For sure. Okay, well, Scott, we're bringing in everybody to talk to you.
All right, I can't wait to meet them. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing free samples. It's springtime, and that means allergies. Mine have been throwing me off, and I need something that works fast. That's where Astapro comes in. It's the first of its kind nasal allergy spray, and it is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter spray you can get. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Plus, it is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. So if you suffer from allergies like I do, get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to astroproallergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. Visit AstroProAllergy.com. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Lauren. How are you? Nice to meet you.
I'm good. It's nice to meet you.
Where are you calling in from?
I am in New York City.
Ah, the Big Apple. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So lay it on us, man. What?
Okay.
What you got? What you got?
I was hoping you guys could compare the first and second halves of season six. I feel like there's a pretty strong parallel between what Luke is dealing with Lorelai and Rory, and then what Lorelai deals with Luke and April. But I feel like it's been my opinion that the writers always intended that to be like a juxtaposition between the two. And then I feel like Luke was ultimately more forbearing and more patient with that. And then Lorelai sort of spirals downwards, but that's probably a controversial opinion. So I just was hoping you guys could kind of compare those two storylines for me.
So that's an interesting comment. I think that for me, the big difference is that when Lorelai was dealing with the separation from Rory, there was a defined end point in that. So she told Luke that she needed to wait to move forward until things were right with Rory. Whereas with the Luke and April situation, Luke wasn't really seeing what an impact he was having on Lorelai. And there wasn't really like a defined endpoint at which he was going to bring her in. So to me, that's kind of what the difference between the two is.
We all know how I feel, because I feel so it's a double standard for me. Or, you know, like, why did Luke just patiently deal, right? Like, he's just like, I'm gonna push off my needs. I'm here to support you and Rory. I mean, even to the point where one of the reasons Lorelai proposes to him is because he's so fiercely loyal to her in supporting the situation with Rory. So I've always had more of an issue, as everybody knows and screams at me, that Lorelai didn't give him the same thing. Yes, I understand, like, she's hurt and he's not including her where she did include him. But I've always felt like, wait, like, let's give him the same grace, right? The same everything. And I think if you're in a true partnership, then you put your own needs aside when your partner is going through something so significant. And I always felt like Luke did that and Lorelai didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I also feel like he pushed her a little bit on his frustrations versus her silence and then sort of implosion.
So, yeah, I mean, I think about this in the following way. Is Luke staying, are the writers honoring the character of Luke? Is Luke acting in a way that is consistent with his character, in that he displays this in this incredible patience over an 8-year period waiting for Lorelai? And you could say that that's passion, that's commitment, that's patience, that's everything you want in a partner. Steadfastness, faith. And I think it proves that he will never even think about another woman the rest of his life. And I think that's what that's what that character establishes in the first, first five seasons and then up until the April thing. And I think his character doesn't change at all because April arrives, and now he's giving her the time. And it's another selfless act. He's this very selfless character. He doesn't put himself first. He puts people he loves first. Lorelai was always first. I'm going to wait for her. I'm going to gamble that she is, I'm going to wait it out and gamble that she's going to be mine one day. And if she isn't, I don't care. I don't want anybody else. And now here's April, and I'm going to, like, okay, now I'm going to pay attention to her. He doesn't have the capacity to do both. He's in a situation where life has thrown him a curveball. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's that he doesn't react well to it. He just does what he does, which is he remains this selfless, steadfast figure who wants to be a rock in his daughter's life, mm-hmm. and wants to establish a relationship with her that's solid and grounded, because he doesn't know what she's getting at home from Anna. And he wants to make sure that he's the port in the storm. And that takes time to establish, and he understands that. And I was disappointed that Laurel, and I understand in a relationship it's frustrating, and Lorelai has every right to feel the way she feels, but I was always surprised that she didn't really understand that about him.
Mm-hmm. I think that, Suzanne and Lauren, I'm curious what you guys think of this. The fans that are so quick to be sort of mad at Luke and team Lorelai, are they not taking into account what a major thing this is? Like, to me, this is life altering. The world has stopped. He just found out he has a kid. And I know, like, Suzanne, you have like a sort of a different take on it. But for me, it's so like, if I were Lorelai, I would be like, take a year, take 2 years, take whatever you need to feel comfortable with your daughter, and we'll be good because we have forever. I don't know. Right. That's always been my take.
I don't think I would feel that patient, but at the same time, I think I would try to communicate. It always bothers me that she just didn't say anything until she couldn't take it anymore. Right. And so
I completely agree with that. That was it for me too, was because she was being quiet that whole time because that's what Luke wanted. Like, Luke didn't want her. She thought she was supporting him and in forming his relationship with April. But then, you know, she waited so long and he wouldn't let her in that it just eventually came to a head. And I completely agree. There should have been a conversation way earlier. She should not have just let it go until the point where she just explodes all over him. She should have, you know, stood up for what she was feeling, and not in a mean or aggressive way, or demanding to be with April or anything like that, but just sort of like the conversation that they started to have at Martha's Vineyard, where she was like, I just don't think this wedding is going to happen. Like, I wish they could have kind of continued that discussion again so that he could see the impact that the whole thing was having on her.
Hmm. I guess. Do you guys think the writers intended the juxtaposition, like, between the two halves of the seasons?
I do, because that's why I see the hypocrisy. Like, Luke was so there when Lorelai was in this traumatic situation and patient. And yes, he communicated how he was feeling better than she did. But then when the roles were reversed, she didn't, in my opinion, just my opinion, quite level up to what he had done when she was in a situation. That's just how I saw it.
I think it was intentional, and I feel like I have to point out that the whole situation even started because Luke is the one that didn't communicate about April. Like, that's kind of what set the whole thing off. So he didn't communicate with her about April, and then she didn't communicate.
Well,
with
she didn't communicate right away that there was a problem between her and Rory. I can't remember. I mean, she doesn't communicate to the town.
But there
it's
was
a big
one
secret.
There was one instance where Luke did try to tell her, but there was an interruption. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep, that happens a couple of times. Actually,
it does happen a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. He did try a few times, but he should have kept trying. I mean,
but it's also, what a big scary thing. Like, I don't know. I think everyone's so quick to be like, he should have just told her.
I think you see like the best of Luke in the first half and then like the worst. It's sort of like him and his absolute, you know, most magnificent supportive, and then all of his communication failures that he struggles with.
I never saw it as the worst of him. That's just me. And I know everybody just like guts me for it. But I just see a person trying to deal with something that's so humongous. And like, you're, when you are in real life and you're dealing with that, you're not going to do it perfectly. You're going to probably mess it up super bad.
You look like Lorelai with brown eyes.
Oh, thanks. They're green, but I'll take that.
Oh, sorry. This is Zoom, but I just made it blue.
What do you do in New York? Are you?
I am a stay-at-home mom to four kids.
Oh, nice.
So,
what a job.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How did you even find the time or peace to join our show?
my husband was really excited for me, so he took the kids outside.
Because wow.
They are loud.
What ages?
10, 8, 6, and 3.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. Whoa. In the city or outside?
Two bedrooms on the Upper West Side.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, it's so like four kids in one bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah. Bunk beds, you know?
Wow. Cool. I know. That's all my friends from New York are like, it's totally fine. They moved to LA and they're like, I live in a mansion. And it's like a two-bedroom apartment. They're like, it's a mansion. Like,
I was raised in Orange County, so I do sort of know the opposite option I've chosen this. So it's the Gilmore Girls. They gave me the East Coast desire.
So wait, before you go, how do you feel about season 7? You've seen it, obviously.
I actually, after I listened to your recap, I just binged season 7. I feel like you have to get it out of your system and you can't start it. Like, you can't take it slowly. I feel for you guys because it's so painful. And then it gets better. But no, I feel okay about season 7. When it first aired, I was in high school and it was honestly more than my heart could handle. I was really angsty about it. But now that I'm, you know, an adult, I feel better about it.
Yeah, we let Danielle go because we didn't want to, in case there are spoilers. Oh, right. So Danielle, we didn't let her go, but we let her go today.
She's no longer with the podcast. Was that paranoid about information getting out?
You can't lose her.
Yeah, because we want people to be able to like speak freely. And it's really hard to sort of analyze the whole show without analyzing the whole show. But
well, that's what I felt like. I was like, now I have to view this in context of like, I think Christopher's just something she's got to get out of her system. That's
Do you hate Christopher like Suzanne does?
Like so much. Like I cannot handle him. No, Scott. Luke was my first crush. I was a very, you know, impressionable age.
Thank you very much.
And Christopher was the worst. I was like, he's so easy and high schooly.
I'm like the only person that likes Christopher in the universe. But I don't. I mean, Luke better, obviously. But
we need to get you into rehab. Somehow.
I know, seriously.
It's okay to like him. It's just not okay for her to end up with him.
Lorelai likes him.
She does. Yeah. And I have to say, by the way, I think all the haters who don't like you are not true Gilmore fans because you have Lorelai energy.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you.
You know what they are?
They're Russian bots.
And they are rival the Gilmore podcasters.
They're pretty specific for being bots. No, but it's okay. Yeah. I can take it. I only cry every single Monday. It's fine. It's my job to read them, but thank you. And I do think, look, Lorelai went back to him. So maybe I am Lorelai because I get it. I get it. I think you're right about getting it out of her system again and again and again.
Like a bad drug.
But why did they have to make us watch?
It's hard to watch.
That's the thing. Couldn't they have just like, you know, after the fact, and we could figure it out and piece it together and then go,
it's so funny. It's not hard for me to watch them.
Why do we?
Because I hear Lauren saying that, like, it's hard to watch. And I'm like, is it? They're sort of cute.
Like, they give us a chance to turn away.
They're too similar. Like, they're made of the same stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Too much of the, you know, the shtick, and like Luke gives her that balance. So
I don't know.
That's a good take, actually, Lauren. I don't know what Queen Suzanne thinks on that, but that's a good take.
I guess somebody interrupted me, so I didn't hear it.
Suzanne just in the bathroom throwing up because we're talking about Christopher.
She hears Christopher.
Mr. Suzanne walked in to say goodbye.
So. Oh, Mr. Suzanne had to interrupt us with his love.
Oh God.
Lauren, you rock.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So do you guys. It's Monday mornings. It's like a highlight when I see that new episode every Monday.
All right. So. Well, thanks so much.
Well, get ready for season 7.
I can't wait. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Okay. Best of the little ones.
Thank you. Lauren. Bye.
Take care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dorothy?
Hello. It's so nice to meet you.
It's so nice to have you back where we belong.
Aww.
Nice to see you, Dorothy. Where are you calling from?
Malvern, Pennsylvania.
Malvern?
Yeah. You're probably familiar with that area.
We had family friends from Malvern.
No way. Really?
Way.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Yeah. My first experience at sleepover camp when I was like 9 years old was with my good buddy from Malvern.
Wow, that is so funny.
Did you go to Malvern Prep?
I did not. I didn't grow up here. We're raising our kids here. I'm originally from Long Island, New York.
Long Island, hey. So what do you got for us, Dorothy?
So I have 2 questions for you. When did Amy and Dan actually know they weren't coming back to be the to write it?
I don't know. I've been jogging my memory and I just don't know. I don't think that anybody really knew, but I do recall them telling us individually that, that they were moving on and that they, you know, and the reasons why. And it was very emotional.
Did they tell you during season six?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't think it was during season six.
Okay.
But maybe during the hiatus, we got a phone call or I got a phone call or we had a lunch, something like that. It's not very clear to me, but, I just remember nothing like that happened during filming. For me anyway, and I wish I just had a better memory of how I found out or so, you know, these negotiations are protracted. They're very long and they can last. It probably lasted the entire hiatus right up until, you know, they had to reassemble the writing team and get going on their 22 scripts because you can't let too much time lag before you go back into production. You know, you gotta build up your inventory of scripts. And
that's right. They gotta, they're writing way ahead before you even start filming. Yeah.
Way ahead. Yeah. Cause that's 22 episodes. That's not like now it's easier. It's 10. It's still rough now. If you don't get ahead of it, you get behind schedule and it's chaos. It's just total chaos.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So, but it was a big deal. Yeah. It was a big deal.
Did they have a contract for six seasons and then they needed to renew?
Everybody did.
You all did.
Yeah. So every, that's the standard contract that you sign. It has six renewable options. I'm sorry, five renewable option years. There's either, you either get a 6-year deal or a 7-year deal. They obviously had a 6-year deal. I think I had a 7-year deal. And all the actors had a 7-year deals and they had to renegotiate on an 8th. So, but it could have been 6 and we renegotiated on a 1-year deal for a 7.
Obviously, and you wouldn't really know what's happening with someone else's deal.
No.
You're kind of doing your own deal.
Absolutely.
And you would never know that someone else's deal might be going sideways.
Mm-hmm. So you all don't know what's going on with everybody else. It's just your own contract. And then,
you know, your attorney can call somebody else's attorney that's negotiating, find out where they are and what's going on, this kind of thing, and compare notes. Cause that can be advantageous in both negotiations. But no, nobody, I didn't know what was going on with Amy and Dan's negotiations. It was just a shock. I remember just being shocked that they didn't get a 2-year deal, which is standard on a hit show after six seasons to get a 2-year deal. It's really sort of the standard. And they felt very, well, they just felt like they had to move on. They had other stories to tell and they did.
So, I wonder, did they, you know, knowing... Well, I guess they didn't know by the end of season six, or did they know by the end of season six things weren't going to work out?
I don't know.
But it wasn't going to continue without them, so they kind of left us hanging.
But how long can you, you know, continue to entertain a 1-year deal offer? Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of faith there from the studio.
Yeah.
Like, look what we, you know, you guys are making a bundle off this show, or you know, you're now in the black and. And things are good and you got a syndication deal and DVD money's good. And like, what? Come on, guys. You know, the advertiser's putting a lot of pressure to bring the show back for multiple years. You can't give us a 2-year deal. I mean, really? I mean, you want to risk the quality of the show with like, you know, running us out of town and, you know, you can't function under a 1-year deal. You just can't do it.
Yeah. So they walked. So
they walked. Yeah. Their credit. They walked. Yeah.
Yeah. So the cast, you found out probably during hiatus. What was the vibe? You're all of you coming back your first day filming for season 7. I mean, how did you all feel? I can imagine how you felt, but.
Well, listen, A, it's always good to have a job, a steady job in that town. They're hard to get. And yeah, we were a little anxious. The scripts were really good. They were really strong. You know, we just had a lot of faith. I mean, you've got to be positive, stay positive, do that job anyway. You know, to come into work and, you know, to give them 12 hours or 14 hours, everything you got, and then come back next day, do the same thing, next day, do the same thing. You know, there really can't be resistance. You know, it's like, you got to be all in.
Yeah.
And you have to stay positive. And it's like, okay, this happened. They're not here anymore. We have a new reality. Let's make the best of this.
And the guy that comes in isn't a stranger to you all.
No,
which helped.
Yeah, we knew.
Right.
And he'd written some great episodes.
Okay. I was going to ask, did you know who the new writer was?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And he,
so he was taking Amy and Dan's baby and just kind of finishing it off for them.
Well, yeah. Like he was, they chose him, you know, with their blessing. It's like, he can handle this.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah. So I'm really eager to see and watch these season 7 episodes because I'll be very interested to see how it comes off.
It's a roller coaster of a ride, just as six was. But hey, you know, it is what it is, and it's the story, and you know, the Gilmore Girls story, and
people
love it. It just it is what it is, and
right.
Hey, I enjoyed it. There are some episodes I don't like. and there were some I didn't like in season 6, but hey, watch them. I don't watch them, and just move on to the next one.
Listen, you're always going to get a bunch of laughs, even if the story careens off the road a little bit. You know, you're always going to get your 20 laughs in there.
You are. There are episodes that I see and I'm like, I don't want to watch this one. And then I watch it and I'm like, you know, it's better than I remember. And it's funnier. And it's a great show. Yeah.
I've watched some stinker episodes, but I laughed all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a joy. It's a real joy because they're funny.
They really are.
Those Paladinos are just, they have the best sense of humor. They're hysterically funny, great writers.
They do. Yeah. And you know, I get most of them. And a lot of their pop culture references, some of the stuff, I'm like, boy, that is so clever. How do they?
Right.
They come up with some great stuff.
It's not fair. It's just not fair. Two brains that work like that working together, it's not fair. It's not a fair fight.
Right.
So it's really no surprise to me that they went on and did what they did with Maisel, and it's not a surprise.
And their new one that they're doing now, so it's, you know, they're working on, at least we hear.
And you know, I remember sending Amy a very long email after they left about how much I believe in her and what's coming for them and for her, and the golden statues that are, you know, waiting patiently, the engraver ready to engrave their names on those statues. And it happened, and I knew it would happen.
Yeah.
You know, they just needed to get, you know, they needed to tell these other stories, because it wasn't happening with Gilmore Girls. They weren't getting the recognition they deserved. And I'm sure, you know, it was a bittersweet parting, but it was like, I think they were excited for the new opportunities, and, you know, because they didn't know it's wide open, right? They didn't know. I mean, they did Bunheads, and that only lasted a year or two, and then they did another thing. They did another thing with
my Bunheads.
Right, Dorothy, right.
Did you watch Bunheads?
I did not. No,
it's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
I always come late to the party, so I didn't watch Gilmore Girls when it was airing. I was raising little kids at the time and was too exhausted. So I came, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe 2012 or so. I started watching all the reruns of them and just fell in love with the show. And I've watched it. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it.
I love that.
But I've seen some Mrs. Maisel, and man, that is a good show.
I'm sort of like, I don't know, Scott, I'm excited and nervous about season 7, but
I'm not nervous.
Next week it's happening.
Look, if they're stinkeroo, we're gonna chop them up, but good for firewood.
Dorothy, thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me. I got to show you, the mug I'm using.
We love it.
And I love you guys. I love your podcast. You're all so great. Scott, Amy, Danielle, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are great. Listen to you every Monday.
Oh,
and watch the episodes that you're talking about just so I'm fresh with them. And I just love what you're doing. This is great. And just keep it going. And then you're in the life, just, drag those out.
We're going to drag it out. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you got a couple more years going here.
Thank you so much.
All right, well,
stay in touch. Please, please stay in touch.
Thank you. It's a pleasure meeting you all.
Pleasure meeting you. Take care.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Where are you calling good. From?
From Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, here. My goodness. Is it cold? Is it cold?
Is it Edmonton is. Near where you were?
What?
I don't Edmonton? Know the map of no. Canada. Is Edmonton I'm, near?
Halifax?
No. Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm close to the Rockies, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm about 4-hour drive away from Jasper and Banff. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, it's about zero today,
that's
I guess.
So great. Oh, no.
Hey, you're up there. It's cold.
It's cold. What can you do, right?
So you can play hockey. Yeah. You can ski. Hi, you can go hiking.
I love hockey.
You can do all kinds of stuff in the
cold. You can give us a juicy Gilmore Girls question.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You can talk Gilmore in the cold. That's
legal
now.
I can also confirm that snow has a definite smell for sure. I smell snow. It does.
I agree with that.
I do.
It does.
So I came up with my question just kind of based on the conversation between Linny and Lorelai in the car, the impromptu session they had.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was reading the comments after your podcast about the episode, and a lot of people were piling on Luke and Lorelai, and I thought, wait a minute, what's Linny's role in all of this? Mm-hmm. Like, Lorelai said...
The instigator.
Yeah. I mean, well, we had Lorelai say, I could lose him if I pushed too hard, and then Linny said...
Right.
Well, it doesn't look like you have him right now. And then she goes, things don't always work out the way we want them to. So I don't know. I have a definite opinion on what, you know, her role was in all of this. But
we felt it was a bit of an overstep of a therapist.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought she was a little bit cavalier in, you know, giving out her advice and stuff.
Right.
But. Yep. So, and you know, if you have a PhD behind your name, there's a level of gravitas that comes with it, like a little social responsibility, I guess, is what I was thinking. So,
yeah, that's a good question, Scott. What do you think of that? Because Linny really impacts Luke.
I agree with Michelle. I think there's a lawsuit there.
Yeah, lawsuit. Well, I think for sure it changed the trajectory for Lorelai. Yeah. The second part of my question was, if that whole thing hadn't happened, how would you have imagined her dealing with things? Like, would she have just gone home and eaten a box of Pop-Tarts or, you know, called Rory?
Well, I mean, let's look at how Lorelai handles things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look back on the historical record. How does Lorelai handle things? How does she handle stress?
She's impulsive, let's say.
Mm-hmm. She's a little bit impulsive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So... and she stays true to character.
Am I the only one that would have liked to see Luke? Mm-hmm. And you know I'm Team Luke, but just to have
there
Luke
are
like
no teams.
Almost like I think I talked about this. I can't remember if it's like if I talked about it on the air or off the air.
Are you Team Rory or who are you Team Rory?
Me or Michelle?
No, Amy. Are you Team Rory? Are there teams with Rory?
No, there's
are
more
you team
like
Lorelai.
I'm pretty much always all about Lorelai, right? Uh-huh.
But are
I'm
you on her team? Because there's rivals, right?
Well, I know. here's my question for you.
Do you get my point?
All of you.
Okay.
I would have loved for Luke, who is always the voice of reason to me, to have set kind of hugged her, right? Or you know, I don't want to say grabbed her because that seems like wrong, but sort of grabbed her and said, let's take a deep breath. Let's just take a deep breath. Like, I love you. You know that. We are going to figure this out. Now talk to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but worse that there's no drama.
Of course. I'm just.
Yeah.
How are you going to piss off the fans if you do that? Which is, you know, I'm just being glib, but it's it's true. It's intentional.
Right. I mean, like,
all
right.
Intentional.
Michelle, what would you have liked to have seen?
Well, I'm kind of on board with you, but to take it a step further, I would have preferred if she had at least waited till the diner was closed, knowing how private Luke is. Like, that was humiliating for him. I felt really bad for him, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the public dressing down and stuff like that. They for sure had to talk. I just would have liked to have seen her, you know, wait till there was no customers around and done it privately and scream at each other in the diner when he's not, you know, in the middle of something or whatever.
And my flag, which I did throw, I did not like the lying. I did not like her saying she had a staff meeting when she didn't. I did not like her making, you know, Miss Patty cover for her. I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
And I actually don't. That didn't track with the character for me. I don't really see Lorelai doing that.
Yeah.
But she did it. But so, well, I don't know. You guys, Suzanne, you say how you feel.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like if that conversation, so I don't know that the therapist was necessarily overstepping. She did make the point to Lorelai that Lorelai is the only one that can keep waiting. Like, Lorelai needs to make a decision as to what she's going to do and then live with the consequences either way. So I feel like if that conversation hadn't happened, she may not have gone straight to Luke that night and given him that ultimatum, but I think it still would have boiled over at some point somehow. Right. Like, she already felt crappy before she had that conversation with Lenny. So she already, like Amy was saying, you know, she was already avoiding Luke. Like, it was going to come to a head at some point.
Yeah, that's true. I can see your point for sure. I just kind of think Lenny kind of steered her. Like, Lorelai was just looking for somebody, tell me what to do, because I'm freaking out here. You know?
And right, because she could have had a therapist. Say Lenny was like a different type of therapist that said, take a deep breath. Like, you've got nothing but time. Like, this is who you love. He loves you. You have, let's hope, 50 years together. It's okay if it takes 6 more months. Like, that was sort of my thing, is she was so panicky when I'm like, I get that she wants to have another kid, but I don't think the like clock is ticking quite so bad. Like, what's the rush?
Yeah, I know. And I just think, you know, she probably worked herself up even more on the drive home from Hartford to Stars Hollow, right?
Oh, so, totally. Oh my God. Like, totally.
You know, Hurricane Lorelai blew in, and that was like, Luke didn't stand a chance, but
yeah, Scott, you know, are you a little peeved at Lenny now that I think about it?
No, I mean, I'm not irrational. No, I'm not peeved at her. I just thought, I mean, I just couldn't, I haven't been able to get any sleep since that scene. I just, I don't know, Lenny. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. I thought it was a little bit of an overreach, but, I just think with this kind of, it's a TV series. It's a serial. It's you know, you have to give an audience these, you know, these kind of story beats to keep them engaged. You know, it's difficult writing 22 episodes and keeping people hooked. You know, it's really hard. So I think you may be in these situations err on the side of excess. I think there are a lot of nuance. There's a lot of nuance and a lot of subtlety in everything that's going on in the show, but in the big story beats, I think you can afford to be a little clumsy, because people really definitively know that it happened and they engage and they talk about it and they don't like it and some defend it, and it's all very it's good for the show if people are engaged in talking about it, even if they're ticked off. And I don't think it's so far afield that it just like kind of knocks people out of the show. Oh, that's so absurd, I'm not going to watch it again. No, it's just these are
it's dramatic moves, but they all tracked for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I did really enjoy that scene in the car. I thought that was, you know, kind of a nice, quiet, calm down moment before it escalated again. Like,
and did you feel about the ending scene? Am I still on an island? I was the only one who wasn't that mad about it.
I was thinking, you know, Christopher was a little cocky and thought, don't get too excited about this. You're not going to be there forever, but without giving away anything. But yeah, so yeah, it was really, you know, it was seeing her, the look on her face was like, oh, God. So
yeah, Suzanne had a good call out on that it's very similar, the beginning and the end of the episode. So
for sure.
Yeah.
If I can just add one more thing that was kind of sad. Did you guys find it sad that the one and only time that Lorelai said I love you to Luke was when she was screaming at him in the entire show? Did you notice? I just thought, oh, like, he's done so much for her, you know, saved her dog's life and given her money and done, you know.
But she's okay. So this begs a question: do you guys think that she's terribly sentimental?
I think she protects herself so much
with the humor. Her armor.
Yeah, sure. which we had another person on the show that kind of called out, and it's making me think that Christopher and Lorelai both do that sort of shticky, you know, which I always like because I think their banter is so fun. Mm-hmm. It's true. They are kind of both doing that, where the reason Luke is so great with her is he is steady to her, you know,
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, and growing up the way she did, she probably, she wasn't a sentimental type person. So
yeah, which I won't give anything away, but there are some revelations in season 7 where she starts to sort of realize some of these things.
Yeah,
There are some sort of aha moments for Lorelai coming up.
And the household that she grew up in was not particularly demonstrative. Like, no. I don't think that Emily and Richard were ever saying, I love you excessively.
You know,
she just didn't grow up where people were expressing their affection for each other.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Even with Rory, she wasn't overly openly affectionate or anything. So
yeah. No, she's not sort of smushy mushy.
No, she's not one of those people.
Like I am.
Well, Amy, I don't know. I'm still not a Christopher fan as you are, but you know, I appreciate what you're saying. Like
I'm trying because I feel like he's so significant, and I don't find him to be all bad. I get it; he's not great. But
listen, Michelle, we're going to do an intervention with Amy.
Okay,
it's gotten to that point.
An Amy intervention.
Don't tell her. We're going to surprise her one day. We're all going to end up in one of her mansions or one of her yachts, and we're going to get her into rehab.
Yes, we're going to de-Christopher. Have you seen some of the nicknames he has among the fans, the Luke fans?
Give us a couple. I actually probably have, but give us
probably one of the most predominant one, and I've gotten so used to typing this out, is Ixtifer.
Yeah, I saw that a couple times. It was actually really funny.
Sometimes you refer to him as the C word. We don't even actually say his name.
Oh wow.
God, people hate him. I know.
You know, I can kind of see. He's cute. I'll give him that much.
Yeah, and he's charming, and they have this connection, and sometimes he redeems himself. Like, you know, there for her. I don't know.
How boring would it be if nobody liked Christopher, right? Like among you guys, like somebody's got to like the guy.
Right. He's not like a pure villain. Like, you know, he's not a villain. He's just sort of hopeless. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michelle, you rock. Please stay in touch with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome.
Thanks, Michelle.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Thanks. Stay warm.
Thank you. Bye.
The warm months are coming.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
We have the coolest people that listen.
Yeah, they're good. And that's going to wrap part one of the call-ins, the best fans on the planet calling in. We get to talk to them. We get to experience them. We get to enjoy them. And we will be back momentarily for part two. Stay safe. Follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.